Good morning, everyone. Welcome in the name of the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Exodus chapter 34. I want to read verse 29, I think, through verse 33. I want to talk to you about the veil of Moses. Now it was so, when Moses came down from the mountain of Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him, that is God. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, God, for your love for us, the faithfulness that we just sang about, Lord, that really sets us free from the unrest and the anxiety that we face on a daily basis. Thank you for loving us and being concerned about us. Thank you, God, for even though you are the Lord of the universe, you're here with us today. And Father, we feel your presence and we sense your presence. We also, God, know that there is a spiritual battle going on every time we come together this way. And so we pray, God, that you would give us the spiritual eyes to see what's at stake in each and every one of our lives for eternity. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your light. I pray that it would shine on us, in us, and through us. And God, we will be sure to praise you for it. In your name we pray. Amen. Talking about the veil that Moses covered his face with after he had come down from the mountain. And if you think about it, the human face is one of the most amazing things that God had created. The face consists of all the sensory faculties of our body. It's through our eyes that we see. It's through our ears that we hear. It's through our noses that we have the sense of smell. It's through our mouth that we taste and speak. It's through our inner ear, actually, where we gain our orientation. And if you've ever had vertigo or anything like that, you know that that roots stems from something wrong in our inner ear. Many times the face is the first thing that we use to judge somebody, right? For good or for bad, let's be honest. For better or for worse, that's kind of how we operate. Sometimes we can judge the mood of a person by the look or the expression on their face. Sometimes we judge a person as being beautiful or smart or approachable by looking at a person's face. We know that it's rude and we know we shouldn't do it, but sometimes we look at a person's face and we make a snap judgment and we think that person is intimidating or even strange. The face can convey a thousand different emotions just by the tilt of the head or the raising of an eyebrow. Some people are very good at hiding that, right? And it might be said of them that they have what? A poker face. Some of us have the exact opposite problem, and it may be said of us that we're transparent or that we wear our emotions on our sleeve, and people really easily can tell what we're thinking by the expression or the look on our face. The first thing that we recognize about a person is a person's face. And the crazy thing is, we see faces in inanimate objects all the time, right? Have you ever thought about that? We look up at a cloud and we say, hey, that's a face. Or, you know, we look at the front of a car, you know, and it looks like an intimidating face of a human being. Or maybe we'll pull a oddly shaped Cheeto out of a bag. No offense. But we'll say, what? That's a face. We've heard it all the time. I think we're designed by God to connect with people through our faces. And when you read the Bible and it speaks of being in someone's presence, In both the Greek and the Hebrew language, it is literally translated toward the face. If you've ever saw two people getting their faces really close, you know one of two things is about to happen. They're, number one, either going to kiss, right? Or what? They're going to fight. They're going to fight. We don't usually touch faces with someone because it's very intimate or intense. So that's not something we often do. Sometimes we see that one individual face, you know, just has that look. And what do we say? We say that person, what? Shines. Now, you've never seen a person's face shine like the Israelites saw Moses' face shine in Exodus chapter 34. You see, because Moses' face literally emanated light as he came down off of the mountain. This isn't figurative. It isn't, you know, some comparative speech here. This is a literal speech talking about his face emanating light because he had been in the presence of God. It's the only place in Scripture we see someone's face shining. Or is it? I want to talk a little bit about that shining face of Moses this morning. And I want to begin to answer the question, what caused Moses' face to shine? So we'll let the Word of God interpret itself. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whenever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. They'd go into the tent of meetings to speak with God. Moses had a habit of regularly going before the Lord and presenting himself and speaking with the Lord. And it doesn't take a Bible scholar to figure out what the source of this illumination is. It's not his personality. Moses had a bit of a temper, right? Moses is a great leader. Moses is a great follower of God. But Moses was not perfect. He is a human being. The source of this glow is not his charisma. It's not charisma that draws people to Moses. The Bible says the opposite of that. When Moses came down off of the mountain, the people were afraid of him. They were repelled by him. Now, if you think Moses is this shining individual and he's so holy that the rest of us need to strive to be like Moses and really work hard to earn this glow, then you're badly interpreting this passage of Scripture. The source of the shining is God. Now, the Bible says in verse 29, now it was so when Moses came down from the mountain, from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. There it is. The source of the shining was because he had been talking with God. Now, if there's one thing that we know about Moses from Scripture is that he was a passionate worshiper of God. Just one chapter earlier, we see Moses pleading with God for him to show him his glory. That's that text where God says, look, no one's ever seen my face and lived. So Moses has this burning desire to be in the holy presence of God. And as a result, God spoke to Moses and God allowed his light to be reflected in Moses face to face, the Bible says, as he did not with any other man. And my question to you this morning is, do you have a burning desire to see and to meet the holiness of God? Did you come into this place, this house of worship, expecting to see the Lord? Was it on your mind this morning to have a divine encounter with the Almighty God of the universe today? Maybe your mind is on getting the kids ready or preparing your duties that you have here at the church, or a myriad of other things other than having a transformative encounter with God in this place. I want to ask you again, do you regularly expect to meet with God? Now, don't forget the context of this passage. Moses has already been to the top of the mountain once, right? Moses had been up there with God, and when Moses came down with the Ten Commandments on the tablets of stone, what did he find the people doing? They were worshiping the golden calf. Moses, again, we see Moses' temper. You know, I think this is righteous indignation. But anyway, we see Moses' temper rise up. He smashes the tablets of stone. He smashes the golden calf. He mixes the remnants with water, and he forces the people of Israel to drink it. So Moses comes down from the mountain with his face glowing this time, and it's not real clear. I mean, we read it, right? We know what's happening. But the people of Israel didn't know. It wasn't real clear. I mean, here comes Moses with his face glowing. What is he going to do? Speak us into oblivion? It wasn't real clear what was going to happen. You see, God would have been justified in judging the nation of Israel and stamping them out of existence. In fact, he considered it. And Moses interceded for the people. And God, the Bible says, God relented. So they knew that they deserved judgment, and they had a feeling that it may be coming. But instead, God reveals something interesting, and that is His grace, His compassion, and His steadfast love. And when Moses comes down off the mountain with his face reflecting, you know, these things about God, grace, compassion, steadfast love, it should have been a ray of hope for them and an opportunity for them to turn and to repent. But they were afraid. Now, is there another place in the Bible where we see someone's face shining? Transfiguration. Amen? Matthew chapter 17 is that passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves." There's the mountain again. "And he was transfigured before him. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes," now takes it to a whole different level, "became as white as the light." Moses' face was shining like the reflection of the sun, but Jesus is shining like the sun itself. Not only his face, but the Bible says his clothes were illuminated. They were glowing. They were shining. But let's keep reading. Verse 3 says, "And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them." Now this is the New Testament. This is the book of Matthew. This is hundreds of years later, and Moses and Elijah are there with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is outshining them all, and the only thing the disciples can do is to fall down and worship in terror before the love, mercy, glory, and power of the Lord. Now, with this shining and the worship that is taking place, we see, I want to say one more thing before we move on to the second point. Because there's a truth revealed here, I think, in Scripture. And that truth revealed is that we are transformed into the likeness of whatever we worship. When you give something your praise, when you give something your honor, when you give something your time, when you give something your focus, then you become like the thing you worship, like Moses on Mount Sinai. Here's a warning, folks. We become like what we worship. If you worship the material things of this world, you'll become more and more materialistic. If you worship the superficial things of this world, you will become more and more superficial. But if you worship the awesome and living God, we will find ourselves becoming more and more like Him. Gracious, loving, and compassionate. And I have no doubt that when Moses came down off of the mountain of God, his face was shining because he had been worshiping in the presence of Almighty God. Point number two, let's talk about the humility of Moses. Let's look in Exodus chapter 34 again, verse 29. Let me read this to you again. "Now it was so, when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai, And the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. It's interesting, isn't it? He didn't know his face was glowing. How did he not know that? Wouldn't you think that you would know if your face was glowing? Maybe not if it's up in the day, you know, and the sun is shining. Maybe you wouldn't notice it. The sun is bright, you know. Some of those really. You might start to think something's a little off when you walk down the hallway. You know that little night light that's light sensitive? Goes out when you walk by. I don't know. Maybe the reason Moses wasn't aware of this glowing is because he wasn't the kind of person who stared at his face all day in the mirror. Is that a possibility? Maybe Moses wasn't always taking selfies and constantly posting them online. Maybe Moses was unaware of his shining face because he wasn't like Narcissus. You know Narcissus in Greek mythology? You know what he did? He stared in a pool of water at his reflection all day long. That's where we get the term, narcissist. Moses was so overwhelmed with God that he actually takes his mind off of himself for a while. Can you imagine? What a concept. That's a little convicting, isn't it? There are four kinds of people in this world. Which one are you? Okay, you want to do this? You might want to think about it. Count the cost, you know. We're going to do it. There are four kinds of people. Number one, there are people who shine and they are totally aware that they are shining. We know these people, don't we? They're the people who are talented, they're gifted, they're beautiful, they're attractive, they're knowledgeable, they absolutely know it, and they are arrogant and miserable to be around. Number two, there's another group of people who don't shine and they know it. They don't shine and they know it. These are pitiful people to be around. And what's ironic is they go around drawing attention to their own inadequacies. Woe is me. Don't worry about me. No one ever does. The end result's the same as the first group, though. Because, listen, the first guy lives to draw attention to himself, and that's the second group. Always drawing attention to themselves. Then you have a third category, which is the worst, I think, of all. These are people who don't shine, and they don't know it. Do you remember some of those early episodes of American Idol? Where they get people in there and absolutely thought that they could sing, and they definitely could not sing. People like this are self-deceived. By the way, it is not love to tell someone they're talented at something that they are obviously not. I get encouraging people. I get that. But show a little wisdom and a little genuine love. Now hold on, because there's one more category of people, and that is those who shine and they don't know it. This is the category that Moses was in. They shine, but they're unaware because they don't care about themselves or their own reputation. This is a beautiful group of people. Do you know anybody like that? I mean, I can think of several in this church. They shine, and they don't even know it. They just keep reflecting the light of Jesus. These are the people that I want in my life. Not the arrogant people, not the people who are constantly trying to draw attention to themselves, whether it's because of their giftedness or their lack thereof. People trying to put the spotlight on themselves all the time. Those are the people that I want in my life. What group are you in? That's the big question before we move on. Which one of these four groups do you fall into? Maybe you're not in the group that you know Moses was in, but you know identifying it may be of some help to get you to where you need to be as a Christian. Let's move on to the third point. Let's ask the question, why the veil? This is the question that I had on my mind, and this is the question that I think we're going to try to answer today. Why did he put the veil on after he spoke with the people? Exodus chapter 34, again, now let's read verse 30 through 35. verse 30. So when Moses and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, the Bible says, here it is, he put a veil on his face. Because whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. Okay? And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. Moses had been with God, and he's speaking with God, and he comes out, and now he's speaking to the children of Israel with the authority that God had given him in verse 32. And after he had finished speaking, the Bible says he put a veil over his face, to cover his face. I find it interesting, because Moses could have used that glow, that shiny face, coupled with the authority that God had given him, to manipulate the people of God. But Moses doesn't do that. Moses doesn't do that. Instead, he calls the people together and says, let's do this for the glory of God. Now, our text said the people were afraid of Moses when he came down because of the face thing and all of that. But I don't think this is why Moses veiled his face. I've read things and I've heard things, and as I studied this, there's some people that said, well, Moses covered his face because the people were afraid. But if you read this, it says that he took it off when he spoke to the people. So that makes absolutely no sense. The people were afraid because of the whole calf worshiping thing, that whole episode with the calf. And by the way, sin will do that to you. Sin will cause you to flee. Sin will cause you to be afraid. And there's an important passage of Scripture that I want to bring into this. We ought to read and we ought to turn to this morning. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 and following. It's the Apostle Paul now. And Paul says in verse 12, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face, so here it is, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Powerful. Moses wasn't worried about the people seeing the glory of God shining on his face. He was worried about them seeing it fade. You following me? He didn't want the people to see the fade. Moses knew that the glow would dim and pass away, and he didn't want them focusing on what was going to pass away. Now you have to hear this. Paul was referring to the Old Testament law, which was passing away. Not in the sense that it was done away with, but in that it was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. The whole sacrificial system, you know, which had to be repeated over and over and over again for the forgiveness of sin, that all faded away when Jesus died on the cross. The feasts and the festivals were not a one-and-done event. They were repeated year after year because they pointed to something greater, which is Christ, our Jubilee. Amen. What we have in Jesus Christ is not fading away. Moses wasn't veiling his face because the people were afraid. He was veiling his face because he didn't want the people to see the glow was fading off of his face. It was passing away. What about you? So many times we have an experience that really reminds us of who we are as the people of God. Sometimes it's a legitimate encounter that we have with God. But other times it's nothing more than an emotional experience. And when it is, folks, it will fade as you come down off of the mountain. The problem as I see it is the glow of God is not for our enjoyment. The glow is so that other people might see it, might see God in us. It's always about God. It's always got to be about Him, not your feelings, not your emotions, not your enjoyment. All of these things are going to fade away, wood, hay, stubble. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. This little light of mine, I'm going to hide it under a bushel so no one can see it. No. We're to let it shine. A city built on a hill is built there so it can shine and be a light, an illumination, an encouragement to other people. Moses veiled his face because the glow was fading. What about you this morning? What have you been focused on? What does your life reflect? Behold the glory of the Lord, and you will be transformed into His image. Would you stand with me and pray? Heavenly Father, we come into Your presence once again, Lord God, after having spent time in Your Word, not ceasing to praise You, God, but just entering into a new phase of the worship today. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that You will give us all that we stand in need of, Lord, as we come into this time of decision. It always comes to this. It always comes to a question. It always comes to an application. And I think that's by design, because Your Word, Lord, challenges us and brings us to that point, that crossroads, that place, dear God, where we either surrender or we continue to dig in. Father, I pray that as we are presented with this challenge this morning, You, God, would speak to our hearts. You would allow the scales to fall from our eyes and that our heart would be soft and moistened. We pray, God, that You would give us all that we stand in need of as we are convicted by Your Word. Help us to grow thereby. Help us to see Your love, Your mercy, and compassion. And help us in the end, Lord, as we pray so often, be the people You called us out to be. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.